I respect people who wait upon me. These are the folks who really know me, such as waitresses, waiters, and the service people of life. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. I respect people who wait upon me. This phrase could be changed slightly. I respect the people who are in my employee, who work in the jobs with me, who serve me in restaurants and at service places. I respect the people who wait on me. Now, isn't that an interesting statement? I respect people who wait on me. Think about it. If you only respect people who wait on you, then you're not really worth being waited on. Because you are pleasant to people who wait on you, you give them a tip, you give them compliments, you do other things like that. So when your wife or husband waits on you, you say, "Oh dear, that was so lovely of you," you know. Is that what you do? Sounds like you do. So, when you say, "I respect people who wait on me," are you saying that you have no respect for people who don't wait on you? Who are sort of hidden in the background and you don't see them present in your life? Think about it. I respect people who wait on me. It's such an easy phrase to say and such an easy thing to do. I think that as we pay attention to people who do wait on us, we are giving attention to something that we don't really want to empower. And you say, we surely want to empower someone who is servicing you, someone who is bringing you your meal, or someone who is bringing your check or your bill or whatever. And no, not really. Not really. We want to always take this statement back home. I respect people who wait on me. I respect me. You see, so often we put it on the outside. Are you a respectable person? Are you the kind of person a waiter and a chef might respect? You know, are you the type of person that other people would like to do things for? Are you the type of person that somebody else would like to give a tip to? You know, are you that kind of person? Well, probably not. Probably not. Because you feel that your opinions, your ideas, your suggestions, your words are more important than somebody else's. And when you're having a conversation with other people, do you respect them? Do you encourage them to talk? Or are you just waiting to get your 2 cents in there about whatever it is they're talking about, or maybe not even what they're talking about? I know with Ingeborg, Ingeborg is in the middle of our conversation, and then all of a sudden a light dawns in her head. And she says, "Oh yeah, and by the way, let's change the light bulbs down in the Oasis, you know, or over in the Shangri-La." I said, "Ingeborg, this isn't the moment to say that. It sounds as though you're not really listening to what we're talking about." And she is listening, but she also has many things going on in her head at one time. Can we respect ourselves enough that, can we respect ourselves enough not to have other thoughts go on in our mind that we allow attention? I tell most people, if you are having other thoughts in your head, write them down. Write them down. Because this is one of Ellen's biggest situations. Ellen says, "I meant to say this now, but I forgot what I was going to say." And Ellen says, "Oh, I never say that." Oh, you'd be surprised how often we all say that. Where we have something in our mind and we spout it out right away, regardless of what's being said. And we want to be very careful about that. Because do we respect ourselves? Do we respect who we are and what we're saying? If we don't respect ourselves, how can we expect people to respect us? Now, what does a waiter or a waitress or a service person, what do they like to do? What kind of people do they like to deal with? they like to deal with people who have their head on. When a bellboy carries your luggage up to your room, he wants you to remember that he's not carrying it up there because he enjoys carrying it. He's carrying it up there because he's expecting a tip. And the more luggage you have, the bigger the tip he's expecting. And when you give him no tip, then he spreads the rumor around that you're a no tipper and that you're a bad person and that you're an ugly person. Now, is the bellboy right in doing this? Obviously not. The bellboy is paid for by the hotel to do his job, and he is paid to bring things up. Now, he walks around the room, he turns on the air conditioner, which you didn't want on. He opens the blinds, which you didn't want to open. You wanted to take a nap right away. He says, shall I lay out your clothing? And no, you don't want anyone handling your clothing. You want to put it where you want to put it. Shall I? And all you're doing, no to him. And you should pay him a tip for having to do that, you know? Well, he's trying to be helpful. Yeah, but he's trying to be helpful in something that is not desirable. Now, if Rhonda walks in with her entourage as the queen of Las Vegas, and she has her ladies in waiting, and her ladies in waiting would say to the bellboy, no, don't touch any of the ladies' materials. We take care of that. We put that away. We do this, you know, we do that. Well, now, do you think the bellboy is going to like that? You're the queen of the strip. You know, you should be paying us a lot, and you should be doing this. Hey, shake it up, boy. Out the door. No way. Oh, she's a terrible person. She doesn't do this. She doesn't do that. Well, you see, if you respect yourself, what you do is you say to the persons that are serving you, you say, thank you very much for bringing my luggage up. Here's a tip. And that's it. You don't say, don't do this, do this, don't do that, do this. You just say, thank you very much, and on your way. Now, if the bell person remains there after you've given them the tip and wants to do more, you say, run along, sonny. You know, run along. But you see, if they remain there, that's because of you. That's because of you. Can you imagine any bellboy ever wanting to leave the room when Rhonda enters it, you know? They're in a state of beauty and paradise, and they don't want to leave it, you know? So Rhonda has to not look so beautiful when the bellboy comes in the room, you know? Yeah, and these are just things that are in part of our life. I respect people who wait upon me, and I respect them to be exactly what I expect them to be. So let's respect everyone in our life exactly how we expect them to be. How is Ingeborg in my world? She does everything perfectly. How is Sylvia in my world? She does everything perfectly. How is Ellen in my world? She does everything perfectly. Are they service people? Very much so. They're serving my needs. They're doing whatever I want done. Now, let's turn the corner around here a little bit. Here's Sylvia, and she's number one. Who has Sylvia created in her world? She has created Ingeborg and Ellen and Rhonda and Herb. She has created these things in her world. Now, how does Sylvia act to us as her service people, as people who wait upon her? How does she treat us? Does she treat us with the same respect that we would have her treat herself? You understand? Be very careful, because whatever the world is, it's going to be a perfect reflection of what you believe about yourself. And you raised your eyes a while ago when I said a person who is raped creates that experience in their world, and you said, no, how can that be? Well, does anything happen by chance?
No. Okay.
If nothing happens by chance, then that doesn't happen by chance. No. Now, why doesn't that person just admit that that's what they wanted? because that's not supposed to be a nice thing to admit, you know. Mm-hmm. And say, then just create it, but don't let anyone know you created it, you know. Don't bring into the world, I was, you know. And then they holler and scream and they want to make trouble. But the thing is, it's something that we all create. Now, Sylvia, do you create a harmonious, joyous, happy atmosphere here in the monastery?
Oh, yes.
Louder.
Yes.
Ingeborg, do you create a happy, joyous, harmonious atmosphere here in the monastery?
Yes, sir.
That sounds like, yes, sir. I'm not sure, but if you want me to say yes, I'll... Now, Ingeborg, what answer do you want me to have here on the tape? Now, bellow it.
Yes.
Wow, yes. I like that snap. Rhonda, what sort of atmosphere are you creating here at the monastery?
A harmonious, beautiful, loving, positive atmosphere.
Ellen?
Harmony, peace, joy, enthusiasm, cooperation, integrity, sincerity, honesty, da-da-da.
Why quit? You're on a roll.
Got it going.
Yeah. See, now this is how we want it to be. I respect people who wait upon me, and everyone waits upon me in the same way that I wait upon them. And I was looking through a list of things in the year 2000, our School of the Master, 3 months. And we were supposed to write about each person. Remember that, with the happy faces on it? Everybody had to write about the other person. They had to write about John about Anita and everybody. Yeah. And I looked through what they said about me. And almost every one of them said, what was it, dependable and...
Surely integrity.
Unconditional love.
Oh, unconditional.
Dependable and unconditional love. And I thought that was a very nice statement to make. Dependable and unconditional love. Integrity would fall in that too. But now, that's a nice thing to have said about yourself. And I just thought I'd say it here, since I had no other place where I could throw it in and get credit for it. So you have yourself a lovely morning, afternoon, or evening, whatever time of day it may be for you. And this is the Absolute Philosopher bringing you happy times. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Love you.
Love you. Please let us.